Welcome, everyone, to the Dynamo Abroad podcast, where we talk about anything and everything Dynamo Kiev related. I'm your host, Alex Lishik, and joining me once again from across the pond is Dima. I would ask, how's it going? But I don't think you could be getting any joy out of Dynamo results. So how are you doing everything outside of the Dynamo world? How's that going?
Yeah, everything except Dynamo and, well, you know, the obvious, you know, the invasion, terrible attack on Zaporizhia today. A street I'm familiar with as well. Apart from all that, I mean, yeah, coping.
Yeah. Eric's not here, so he's not going to be on the show.
Terrible
today.
News.
Yeah. I feel like there's a joke to be had somewhere there, but I just cannot be bothered at the moment.
When isn't that? Yeah.
Yeah. I apologize for my tone, but Dima and I just finished watching I wouldn't say it was a shambolic performance, but Dynamo losing 2-1 to Ren. Goal from Tsigankov. And
just before away, you Dima. Carry on. Just before you carry on, you're right. It wasn't a catastrophic performance, but I knew before the game started that we were going to lose.
The fact that we got it to the 89th minute 1-1 is, I think, more of a testament to how poor Ren were and not how good we were. Don't get me wrong. I thought the last 10 to 15 minutes of this first half, we played very well. The goal was a very nice
equalizer.
Goal.
After the equalizer, up until the second half, I would say, yes, we had some momentum. Things were kind of starting to stick, but at the same day, it's still the same shit players with no technique, mm-hmm. with no mentality. So that's not going to, you know, I guess the Ren manager just must have said, look, you've conceded a goal, but, you know, the game's not over. And,
yeah,
you know, and we concede very, very, very much that, you know, because from the second. Yeah, again, it wasn't the worst performance, but it wasn't a good performance. And even if we got a point, the reason I'm not even that mad about this is because, okay, we get a point, great. Instead of having 0 points, we have 1 point in the group,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We've still lost yeah. both the previous games.
Yeah, the only chance I think we'd have to at least get to the Europa Conference League is we'd probably have to pick up, I figure, 6 points. We'd probably have to beat Larnaca, or not even Larnaca. No, we'd have to beat Larnaca, so they would stay on 3 or 4. I don't know how they did against Fenerbahce today. And then we would have to beat one of Fenerbahce or Ren at home.
You know, it would always be good to beat Fenerbahce, but
yeah.
You know,
so I don't know.
I'm not even confident. I wasn't even confident we'd beat FK Minai, let alone.
Yeah. I don't know where we're going to... I think the best place to start with this game is... So I think we could break down Dynamo's performance into 3 categories, right? We could talk about the players, we could talk about the manager, we could talk about management. If you tuned into our last episode where we had a good friend of the podcast, Tomek Komar, we talked a lot about Surkis.
Yeah, which was a good episode. I couldn't make it, but that was a good episode.
We talked a lot. We all know that we've been talking probably since day one of this podcast, how 99% of these players are shocking. And I know since the majority of players are shocking, but I feel like it's a catch-22 with the manager, right? Because I think the manager could absolutely be doing better. We could be playing players like, I heard Lundvik is a pretty good player.
To be fair, Lundvik, he wasn't registered in time. But the thing is, because we signed him after the Europa League window.
Oh, did we?
But so Diallo was registered, but he's not even on the bench. But it's exactly. All good because we had 2 goalkeepers on the bench.
Yeah.
Great, yeah, we've got 2 goalkeepers, but no Diallo, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Like, I think a better manager could get more out of the better players in this side. So if we look at this on paper, right, some of the quote-unquote better players, I would probably say Tsigankov, Popov, Zabarny, I feel like we could get more out of those players, but the problem is it doesn't matter if you get more out of those players, because let's say you get improved performances from Tsigankov, Zabarny, and Popov, what kind of performance are you honestly going to get from Vova Shepelyev? Or
that's the thing. If you're not getting a performance out of them, and you haven't got much money, would 9 managers out of 10 not just play talented players from the youth
Well, it's not like we have any talented youth academy players like Alexander Yatsik, Vikenty Voloshin, Nazari Voloshin, Kirill Popov, Brashko. It's not like we don't have anybody.
And that's, this is the thing. I mean, again, who could have predicted Kabayev, a guy with about 17 career goals and assists, playing at left wing and attacking midfield at 27 years old, isn't a good player? Who could have possibly predicted? Why did we go out and buy this player when we already have Diallo in the youth team? Mm-hmm. We already had Voloshin in the youth team, who we loaned. I mean, I'm not saying they would have been brilliant, but Kabayev isn't brilliant. He's useless, as a matter of fact. I'd rather them be poor than Kabayev be poor. He's 27 and there's nothing good at all to come from him. He's not going to improve.
We couldn't have given Buletsa a stint in the first team.
Could have given Buletsa. Where is Buletsa these days?
At Zorya.
No, I thought.
And apparently, from what I've heard, he's actually had a decent... I don't know what his goals are. Actually, you know, I want to see how many how many goals he has in his men's career compared to...
He said, he's not like tearing it up, but he's not like...
No. So you said Kabayev has 17 career goals in men's football, right?
Something like that. I can check now.
Here, so I'll check Buletsa, you check Kabayev. Oh, and by the way, Buletsa's still on loan from Dinamo, by the way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why am I getting Yandex Turkey result and not Transfermarkt? Anyway, that's not important. Oh, I've spelled his name wrong. Shows how famous he is.
So you want to hear something fantastic? So Buletsa in his career has 9 UPL goals. His best season 9 was...
9 UPL goals.
Yeah. His best season was 2020-2021, where he had 3 and 19 for Dnipro Adyam.
Okay, sorry. He has 17 assists. And not goals and assists, but he has 12 goals and 17 assists in 189 games.
But what year was he born? 94?
1995. So he's still 27.
So Buletsa's 4 years younger, has 3 less goals and 8 less assists.
Well, you know, because you don't need to spend money. Like that money that was spent, how much was he?
Too much.
Of course, any amount's too much. There we go. 1.2 million. Was there nothing else that we could have spent 1.2 million on, really?
Well, it's like I think I talked about this with Tomek on last time, a couple weeks ago on the episode. I get we can't be spending 30, 40, 50, 60 million euros on players. We were never really that club. It wasn't until Firtas helped out Surkis those 2 or 3 summers, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I understand that. But here's the thing. We can still be spending 5 to 10 million euros a summer, which for us is pretty realistic, or should be. But you don't have to spend it on Franz Sol, on Mikel Duelund, Sidi Clay, Vitor Bueno. Spend that money. Imagine if we spent all that money on academy coaches.
Exactly.
From our U, let's say, because realistically, we don't need to be spending crazy salaries on our U10 or U8 coach. The real most important ages are probably what? U14 to U19, let's say.
Yes,
those are like, let's say, the 14 to 19 year olds. So that's really 5 coaches. You're telling me for 5 million euros, you can't find, let's say, 2 or 3 coaches per team, a head coach, an assistant coach or two? Of course you can. Listen, if you went to some of these coaches at top academies around the world, say, listen, we'll double or triple your current salary to come coach in Dinamo. Of course they would take it. Maybe now not because of the war, etc. But still, you know, I would rather spend, and personally also I think it would be a better look on us using players from our own academy, which is a lot harder. Well, usually should be a lot harder than just buying players. So I don't know.
Listen, I'm not saying we need to, you know, have 11 academy players in the first 11. That's impossible. You know, football these days, that's not how it works. But I would rather have like at least, you know, 3 or 4, like, don't know if this is a good example, like Ajax, maybe. Well, they're better. At the minimum, they're better than us, aren't they? Whether or not they're like world class, that's a different level. But there we go. But this is the thing. And I mean, if you do insist on making a few signings, how about instead of buying 5 players for 2 million, why not buy 1 good player for 10? How about that? Or 2 decent level ones, 4, 5. Because I think Galatasaray, they, I mean, obviously the wages they're offering is, you know, it's kind of astronomical compared to what we'd be able to. But I mean, they signed, I think, Lucas Torreira,
Mauro Icardi,
Yusuf Demir, who was actually world class for me on Football Manager. So I don't know why he's at Galatasaray.
We've not had a Football Manager reference in a while, so it's good to get those back.
No, but I just see that guy. And I remember in my Arsenal save, he was the best winger in the world, I think, at one point. So I don't know what happened there. But I'm just saying, you know, cheap-ish players, you know, they're there. Kim Min-jae, who I think is at Napoli.
He's a good player.
They bought him for like under 3 million.
Yeah.
Could we not have afforded him?
Well, how about Tomasz Suchek? He went to West Ham, I think, for 8 million or something, very low fee, under 10. But my point, but you know what, though? I agree with you. Our whole team doesn't have to be academy products, but we would probably need at least 2 or 3 hours to name however many academy kids from the last 10 years, if they were properly trained, they could easily be first level players.
There's so many now. There's
absolutely. If you look at a hypothetical starting 11, right? You could have Nesteret, Skorko, Ball, Vivcharenko. I know some of these guys are in the first team, but just, you know what I mean. Vivcharenko, Jacek, Voloshin, Brashko, Kirill Popov, Vladislav Anat. And I'm even going to include some of the older guys who are, some of them aren't even in the team anymore. Ali Bekov, Tsitaishvili.
Oh, wow. And Tsitaishvili, he was, I mean, if he was, you know, properly, you know, given a chance, if he was properly coached, if he had a proper attitude about things as well, let's be real.
Yeah.
Would he be, I'm not saying, you know, maybe he wouldn't be as good as Mudrik is currently, but he could have been, you know, similar, because I think at a talent level, you could even argue Tsitaishvili showed a lot more at the youth stage than Mudrik.
He could be at the bare minimum a useful Zbirna level player.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because you can see that the talent was there. You know,
like who would, like, hypothetically, right? At their best, who would you rather bring on if you need a goal to change the game? Who would you rather bring on, Tsitaishvili or Zubkov?
Well, you know, if Tsitaishvili had been molded to a sort
of a different
player, then probably him.
If we're talking raw talent. Yeah. Of course,
yeah. Zubkov, clear. Of course.
Zubkov, but, I mean...
Now, these days, you know, it's done. But honestly, I've got to say, I think Luchescu, I think he's got to go now at this point. I think he's got to go because every single game is the exact same crap. Every single game, same players, same substitutions, same tactics, every single game. And it never works. You know, we've had players that have been, they've been poor literally since he came 3 years ago. They were poor then, 2 years. They were poor then and they're still poor now. And he still keeps playing them week in, week out. And is he trying to make things like more difficult for the next manager? Is he like trying to inflict pain on himself on purpose?
Yeah.
Why would you do this?
Who do you give the job though to? I would say, honestly, give it to you may not like this, but the only reason I'm thinking about this realistically, I would probably give it to Kostyuk or someone already at the club, just to kind of give him as a caretaker job for the rest of the season.
Yeah, as a caretaker.
We would probably need a caretaker though for like a season and a half.
I understand that Jovicevic has been in Ukraine for many years, but what was that Croatian Bielica?
He got fired from Osijek because they lost to like a very poor team in Europa Conference League qualifying. I could find it out actually who they lost to.
I mean,
but my thing is, would he
come? Thing is, I think he got some decent results. I mean, he got some players firing there. But listen, I haven't looked into it too much because
that was
the reason. The reason, like I'm not going to pretend here and say that, oh, I know who should take over. He's the perfect fit, because for me, Luchescu, he's a issue certainly, yes, but he's not the main issue, and you already know who the main issue is. Like with any manager, in the long term, assuming Surkis stays, Luchescu being sacked doesn't really change anything because the next manager comes along, has a good season or half a season or whatever, and then it just everything drops off because it's the same old completely crap broken system from the bloody 1990s, you know. Everything else is still broken.
Oshiek, he got sacked after he lost to Kizilshahr from Kazakhstan.
Oh god. Well,
but you know what though, here's the thing though, I wanted to talk about Surkis real quick. You know what though, I feel like I just said that two or three times in 2 seconds. But I feel like I would rather talk about who I would rather take over from Surkis rather than take over from Luchescu. Like, honestly, right? Like, I mean, I feel like I heard something recently on Twitter. I don't know if it was banter or it was someone like that. Apparently, Shevchenko wants to take over. But I don't think the guy's going to have enough money on his own to take over. He'd probably have to do some kind of consortium or get a couple of his, you know, ex-Milan buddies, hopefully, onto the, you know. But at least
it would be he can't be that poor because he was the best player in the world in his time.
I know, but I don't think he's gonna have. I don't think he's gonna have the kind. My only thing is, I don't know if he's gonna have the kind of money to completely turn everything around. Because I'm not saying to buy it.
I think you might have enough money to buy, but to keep everything running,
I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't hurt if he could get a consortium. And you know what? Maybe Shevchenko is one of those types of people that Surkis would consider selling to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's not about.
This is just not. You know, it's just not good enough. Like from top to bottom. From top to bottom.
Do you think Sheva would do a better job as owner? I think he would.
Well, come on. The guy won a Ballon d'Or. I know you could say Blochin won the Ballon d'Or, but he won the Ballon d'Or only about 18 years ago, right? So he still knows modern football. He was still playing about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
A bit over 10 years ago. You're retired.
Well, and the thing is also, I think he would do good is like, you saw although people sometimes argued he wasn't the best coach himself, what did he have around him at Zbirna? He had a really good staff around him.
Well, he knows the right people abroad. Like, because exactly. He has experience. The good thing is he's got experience with European football. But listen, right now there's just, you know, we just have to see where it goes because, you know, as much as we want it to happen, you know, it wouldn't surprise me I could see him
when Surkis gets a little over, he would take over. But the problem is, I don't think we can wait another 10 to 20 years for Shevchenko. Like this had to probably already happen. Forget about 10 to 20 years. That needed to happen probably 10 years ago, if not more. But
yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You want to touch on the Root game this weekend? I mean, the lineup's probably going to be the same as today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the exact same players, exact same substitution. Just to say as well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I never want Boyko to start because I think, you know, I think 10 years ago I would have been very happy with Boyko starting, but you know,
even 7 years ago,
we need to play Nesheret. But today I feel like he was let down, really. I feel like he put up kind of respectable performance. Not to say that he was like carrying us or anything, but yeah. I think he was. I felt bad for the guy, honestly, because there's just I don't know how many times I've said this now. Tsakhankov got a goal against a team that wasn't, you know, founded about 5 years ago for once with zero fans or history of any kind.
But you know what things? I feel like a lot of the guys overall play like I even thought Kabayev and Besedin didn't play that bad overall. It's just. At the key moments, we did some stupid galaxy brain shit, like Popov.
That's
the problem.
That's what matters, isn't it? It's all very well, like it's all very well doing all these things, but you know, if you're not gonna do the right final pass or final shot, then what's the point? I mean, for me, Kabay was as crap as ever. To be honest, I remember he had this one shot where he literally just like kind of he like passed it into the goalkeeper's hands, pretty much. It's like a really light pass. I'm not even surprised, you know.
We'll talk a little bit about the league situation. Dinamo currently sit in ninth place. It's a shame, man, because this was the way Metalist were playing. Kirvas looked good. This really should have been a very good Ukrainian Premier League season instead of some, you know.
And it was completely screwed over by Surkis and Luchescu.
Yep. Well, no, yeah. And so we are somehow, so I'm not going to go over the whole table, but all you need to know, we're behind both Metalists, Veres, Alexandria, and Kola. So we sit in ninth place. We are 7 points
off. Let alone Shakhtar. That's not even to mention.
Yeah, so we're 7 points behind Waxtap. We play them next week, so that's going to be an interesting episode to record. We do have a game at hand, but my only concern is that Dnipro Adin also have a game at hand. We already lost to them, so if they win their game at hand, we would go around 9 points, 8 to 9 points ahead. Like 6 to 9 points ahead of us, depending on our result. We play Ruch on Sunday at 10 o'clock New York Standard Time, 5 o'clock local time in Kiev. Anything other than a win, in my opinion, is a failure, but at the same time, who knows, man? This UPL season's a bit
To me, honestly, at this rate, I mean, it's October. It's October and the season's virtually a write-off for me.
Listen, I'm going to say this every time, every episode. If we finish, as long as we stay in the UPL and Surkis goes, we could finish 12th in the UPL, bottom of our Europa League group.
Oh, brilliant. Goes, yeah, I take that.
Brilliant. It's a top 10 most successful season of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a banging season, absolutely.
Dima, do you have anything else to add? Because I don't think there's much more for us to really talk about.
Oh, well, we played midnight, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
There's literally like three things that I want to say, literally. And you probably already know, but decent goal from Sahankov, like first touch volley, fine, great. You know, that's his job, you know. I'm not going to go mental over that goal. Longvik made his debut, which
he said he looked.
I mean, Luchescu makes substitutions no earlier than the 70. Before I carry on, it was hysterical because obviously Popov made that stupid error, which I'm not liking the way Popov is looking at all. By the way, I think all the injuries, I think they've kind of had their toll on things. But Popov makes that mistake. 89th minute, Popov subbed off for Vicherenko.
That didn't make any sense.
I actually laughed because, like, oh, brilliant. You know, now we're going to win because you subbed off a centre-back who just made a mistake.
Yeah, and we put on a defender in his spot.
Brilliant,
defender's place.
Brilliant. But, yeah, like I was saying, Longvik made his debut. I thought he was kind of tidy in possession. And with his passing, he was trying to at least kind of get things going, you know.
Well, a lot of the – I saw some Danish fans on Twitter saying that they were probably expecting him not – they weren't expecting him to move this quickly. They were expecting him to stay another year or two and then move to a top five league. I don't know if that's true or were they just trying to make us feel better. But if that's the case, then, listen, maybe somehow Surkis is scouting, maybe if – found a diamond in the rough, but he's got to play more minutes.
I'd never heard of him before we signed him, right?
No, neither I.
But just purely on paper, I believe he came from the PSV Academy, right?
Yes.
That's a proper academy,
yeah.
Right? He played for the Netherlands U19 game.
Yeah.
A national team. Again,
that's not bad.
That's not too bad. He played in the Danish league, which I feel like the Danish league is not a bad league, you know.
I don't think it's not too far off of UPL level, I don't think.
I feel like it's better than UPL. UPL.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's better than this UPL, you know. Maybe Shakhtar are a bit better than, you know, I wouldn't bank on it because, you know, but I feel like the team he was playing at would probably be most UPL sides, I'd say.
If not, they'd beat Dynamo.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me. But, I mean, his stats look decent. His passing stats as well. I mean, his creativity stats look decent, which is something we have been missing. But the thing is, again, I mean, one player, I mean, he's not going to make a difference because the rest of the players are so crap, you know. Paris made his debut as well, but I feel like he was just kind of running around in the left wing. Didn't he come on fairly late though? No, yeah, I'm not saying it was his fault. Both players came on very late. I mean Paris, he plays for Jamaica, doesn't he? Which is
it's it's one of those national teams you feel like is good, but like they're a lot they should be a lot better. I'll just say that much. For looking at their results from like World Cup qualifying, they should be a lot better than they are. Because they do have some decent players.
Yeah, Leon Bailey and guys like that. I think they've got like three or four pretty decent players, to be honest.
I would say 90% of their players are at bare minimum decent to good.
Yeah.
At bare minimum decent. So that's not bad.
Paris, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I don't have high expectations for him. I mean,
no.
He did good in Slovenia, but that's like the 50th or something league in Europe. I mean, that's not really.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And it's not like he was at like a Maribor, which is always competing in Europa League or sometimes even in the Champions League. I think he came from like Koper or Celje or something like that.
Some of that. So I don't know. I feel like honestly, I'm Selvirbic, fine, great. But I would have definitely preferred to see Diallo and Voloshin push each other for the starting spot. Definitely, I would have preferred that over Paris. Absolutely. And absolutely, 100%. And I feel most clubs, I think they probably would do that. You don't have to spend a penny, right? They did good in the youth league. And I mean, I'm not saying that's like the highest level, but it's not like Kabayev's level, like lit the world of football alight, has he, or Paris,
no,
for that matter. But it's, you know, it's done now, you know, wish them the best, but my expectations aren't high. Maybe a bit higher for Longvik than Paris, but we'll never. There's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Listen, the only thing I say we should have been doing with this team is this should have been the year to use, I don't care if it's 40 first team players, just see which kids can play and which can't. That's what we should have been doing.
Shakhtar were kind of doing this. I don't like praising Wagstaff, right? But they saw players, Sudakov, right? They saw he's pretty good for in the other. I don't know how he did, but yeah, presumably he was good. But they saw he was decent in the under 19. All right, we'll give him a go at preseason. We'll give him a go with the first team, right? Yeah. They did the same with
Bondarenko, Mudryk. There's a couple of them,
right? Why aren't we doing this? I mean, like the thing is, honestly, if we did what I hate to say it, but if we did what they're doing now, I'd be maybe not pleased, but I'd be a lot more happy than what we're doing now. You know, sign players like, you know, I'd rather at least guys like Petriak and Zubkov and guys like that than just these random ass Kabayev, you know, and because they cost round about the same anyway, don't they?
Yeah, right. No, I agree.
But like, you know, they saw they have gaps in their squad and they acted promptly, right? Mm-hmm. We've had gaps in our squad for the last 6 years and we've still done absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I feel like we could talk about the but at the end of the day, where does this all lead back to? Leads back to one man.
Everything always leads back to Surkis. You're right there. And it's all very good, you know, saying, oh, look, Popov made a mistake. Look at him. It was a terrible mistake, but Popov making a mistake isn't what I'm the most angry about, because first of all, we're already going to draw the game anyway. I already said that, but you know, you have to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
At this point, and it's very clear. It's clear as day now. In fact, that you know, the harsh reality is with Surkis in charge, things will not look up, and we will, you know, we will not be at the level where we, you know, a club with our size and our history should be.
And you know what, Dima? I think you bring up history. I think this is a really good way to end the show, right? So Dinamo lost 2-0 today, or 2-1 to Rennes. So our good friend of the podcast, Andrew Todos, or Zoria London's posted, for the first time in history, Dinamo have lost 3 Europa League games in a row. We sit on bottom with 0 points, right? So we make history of losing games to Fenerbahce, Rennes, and Larnaca. And if you have seen on Instagram today, in 1975, today is also the anniversary of Dinamo winning the UEFA Super Cup.
Well,
And today,
those are quite contrasting.
So, yeah, no, I'm just to show you how hard the club have fallen.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It's 1975. What is that? 47 years ago, we're winning the UEFA Super Cup, beating Bayern Munich 3-0 aggregate in front of 105,000 people at the Enniska Olimpijski.
Absolutely, and the problem is Surkis is living in the past. He still thinks that, you know, oh, I'll just hire some guys from that. team. I bet you like at least half of that team that won that day are actually still in the structure. I'd have to look it up, but I bet you anything that they are. I bet you.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. Listen.
Like as random as like director of some bullshit that means absolutely nothing at all. It's just a made up title. But you know.
And you want to feel even better about that Champions League? So when we beat that Bayern team, Bayern had just done back-to-back European Cups, and they eventually, and then, so we beat them in 75, and they ended up doing a three-peat. So they won 73-74, 74-75, 75-76. So our boys in 75 were better than a team that did three European, one of the few teams to do three European Cups back-to-back.
Well, there we go.
So, Dima, I don't know if we could really go further. So, as usual, as we end the show off, someone would want to contact you. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, 1927 Dima. Obviously, these days I use my account for, you know, I used to speak mostly about football on my account. Now that, you know, these days I'm kind of forced to, you know, information war, misinformation war updates, all this stuff, which I wish I didn't have to spend time on at all, but yeah, about 1927 Dima is a Twitter.
Yeah, and if you want to contact the show, you can do that on Twitter. You can find us at Dinamo Abroad, where our DMs are open. And if you want to contact the show, you can also shoot us. Oh yeah, Dima, you want to go on?
I just remembered just today on Out of Context Dinamo Kyiv, which is another account that I run. I feel like I'm quite proud of that account.
It's a good account.
It had to be done. But just today I had a post. This was actually sent in by Andrew Todos, also known as Zorya Londonsk. But it's a news article, and we apparently hired some new man who's no one's ever heard of in a completely random job title. It's the director of progress or something along
that sounds lines. Extremely Soviet. Oh my God.
Yeah, very generic Soviet name. Anyway, he says, Dynamo management is not weak. It's unique and classic.
It's so Soviet. Oh my God.
What a load of rubbish that is.
Yeah, no, Surkis literally thinks it's 1974. God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
don't get me wrong, I'm very proud of our history. You know, not many, few clubs, very, very, very few clubs can, you know, say that they have the history that we have. You know, we'll always have it, but at the moment, it's just all so hollow, you know.
Absolutely, it's built on it's a solid foundation that has a glass house,
yeah,
right. So if you want to contact the show, like I said, you can do that on Twitter at Dinamo Abroad, or you can send us an email to dinamoabroadpodcast@gmail.com. Well, from Dima and I, and Eric as well, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Dinamo.